Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sear Shack is locally owned and uses 100% fresh, never frozen Angus beef. Then seared to perfection and served on the Sear Shack's homemade and freshly baked artisanal buns. Baked fresh in-house every single day. It's a searly better burger. And don't miss the Sear sauce. House-made, sweet and tangy. It's perfect for the burger and fries, too. Visit in Bartlett at 7424 State Road. Complete menu and locations at thesearshack.com.
National contest data message rates apply. Now it's Memphis Money Madness. Penny, hoops, and cash all month long. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Here's this hour's code word.
Code word this hour is cake. Text the word cake, C-A-K-E, to 72881. You got a chance to win $1,000 in the next 60 minutes. Text cake, C-A-K-E, to 72881. You got a chance to win $1,000. We're doing it every hour, 7 through 7, Monday through Friday for the next 3 weeks. Text cake this hour to 72881. Good luck. We'll have another code word coming up at about 5 o'clock here on the Gary Parrish Show.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show. Today's special guest host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into the Gary Parrish Show here on this Wednesday afternoon. I am, as the voice said, Neil McCready. I'll be with you until 5:30. Memphis Grizzlies basketball tonight, preseason action. The Grizzlies in Orlando to face the Magic. You can hear the game right here on the station at pregame starting at 5:30. The tip sometime a little after 6 as the NBA regular season gets closer and closer and closer to tipping off where they keep score for real. Gary Parrish will join us momentarily. He is in Chicago for Big Ten Basketball Media Days. Jeff Calkins will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Brad Carson's back in the studios in Memphis. Brad, how are you?
I'm better than the folks in Florida. Gulf Coast looks like it's really getting it right now. It's bad looking on the pictures and the videos coming out of there.
Yeah, Laura and I lived in Spanish Fort out. We lived in Mobile, and then we moved across to Spanish Fort, and we were down there for about a decade, and we were there for Ivan, which I remember vividly, and we were there for Katrina, which Mobile did not, and that part of Mobile did not get a lot of damage because it went to the west, obviously, as everyone remembers. It hit that landmass between New Orleans and Mobile, which is sometimes called Mississippi. it hit that. Yeah. But I remember sitting in my carport, I guess, garage, whatever the word would be, watching 100-mile-an-hour winds of Katrina blow through, and you'd see trees bent over sideways, much like the pictures that you saw today from Panama City and stuff. And
yeah,
That is devastating stuff, and so many people did what, you know, I remember us doing down there. Is those things would stir around in the Gulf, and they would say it's going to be a tropical depression, it's going to be a tropical storm, it's going to be a Category 1, and then all of a sudden it would pick up speed, and that was always the worst nightmare for the Panhandle, that it'd get hit with a 4, almost a 5, like it did today, first time in recorded history that a Category 4 or stronger hit the Florida Panhandle. Scary, scary stuff.
Rough.
All right, let's welcome Gary Parrish into his show. It is, after all, his show. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. You guys okay?
Yeah, doing well. I know you're writing about Big Ten stuff and previewing the season. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and if I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the topic in Chicago today was what was going on in a courtroom in New York.
Well, the big committee day is actually tomorrow. I'm doing it in a way that I've never done it before. I'm more here for television purposes than I am as a writer. So I'll be doing live interviews and live hits tomorrow on CBS Sports HQ with, you know, all the big name coaches and all the big name players that are here, from Tom Izzo to John Beilein to Matt Painter, Mark Turgeon, so on and so forth. And so that's all tomorrow. Today was just a travel day. I've got to be there, like, I got to be in the building at like 7 a.m. So you had to come today. The point remains the same. Tomorrow, yeah. I mean, this trial is dominating all conversations in college basketball. It's a little bit like last season in the sense that, if you remember, the indictments came in September, and the preseason was just all about who's going to be arrested next, who's going to be charged next, as opposed to how good is Marvin Bagley going to be at Duke. And this is the same deal. We're not really talking about the start of the season, which is, you know, only 20-something days away now. Everybody's focus is on a federal courtroom in Lower Manhattan where one witness after another is painting a not-so-great picture of college basketball.
I'm reading from multiple Twitter feeds right now. Right now I'm using Dan Wetzel's because it was the first one that popped up. Adidas AAU coach and consultant TJ Gasnola took the stand this afternoon. He was the next big witness that everyone was looking forward to hearing from. He testified in federal court under oath that he provided payments to players and families of Billy Preston at Kansas, Silvio D'Souza at Kansas, Brian Bowen, of course, at Louisville, Dennis Smith, then at NC State, DeAndre Ayton, then at Arizona. He provided no specifics before trial broke for the day. There will be much more when he takes the stand again on Thursday. One of the interesting things that he said or that came up in trial is that he wrote in one of his own reports that he met with Coach Self, referring to Bill Self, the Kansas coach, and his staff, talked recruiting targets, and assured them that we are here to help. He also provided that he sent Brian Bowen Sr. $7,000 in cash, stuffed in a magazine, and then in an envelope. This was while Brian Bowen Jr., was still attending high school in Saginaw, Michigan. I'm curious. I know you're covering Big Ten tomorrow. Kansas is not in the Big Ten. Bill Self is going to be asked about this by you and people like you over the course of the next few weeks until he gives some form of a satisfactory answer. What do you anticipate Bill Self's response is going to be to this today?
Well, that's the most incriminating bit of evidence for a college basketball coach to date, because I shouldn't say, I mean, in this trial, I should provide some context, like the parameters. In this trial, today, it was the most interesting thing and incriminating thing for a college basketball coach, particularly a Hall of Fame coach, because what most coaches have tried to do is say, hey, listen, if something happened, we'll deal with it, but we didn't have anything to do with this. You know, we didn't know. Like, that's Rick Pitino's story. Okay, Brian Bowen Sr. got paid, but I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't know. You can believe Rick or not believe Rick, but that is his story. Well, it's going to be hard for Bill Self to continue to say he was totally blindsided by the idea that two of his players were paid by TJ Gasnola when there's a written document that has TJ Gasnola saying, I met with Bill, I met with his staff, I made sure they know that we're here to help. But these are not dumb people or naive people. You know, if I know what it means when TJ Gasnola says, I'm here to help, then Bill Self knows what it means when TJ Gasnola says, I'm here to help. And so I guess Bill can dispute that if he wants. Like, he can say, that never happened. He never said, I'm here to help. And if he did hint at that, I didn't take it the way he might have intended it. That's probably the best thing that you can do at this point if you're on that Kansas stand. But it flies in the face of common sense to think that these coaches who pride themselves on knowing every aspect of everything that goes on in recruiting, because that's the way you are an effective recruiter. It flies in the face of reality to think that they didn't know this stuff was going on, that tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars were changing hands and from shoe company executives or right-hand men of shoe company executives to the families of players who they subsequently enrolled, and they didn't know how it was happening. You know, if people like me have for a long time, people who have jobs like I have for a long time known that the shoe companies were out there, you know, compensating families in exchange for enrollment, then the college basketball coaches know that as well. One of the points I've made for more than a year now is that I know how screwy this might sound to a casual sports fan, but in the world of college basketball, this kind of stuff was just, like, considered part of the game. Yeah. Like, it was still labeled cheating. Like, if a coach went out and gave $20,000 cash to somebody to get that person to commit, every coach in the country would say that's cheating. But shoe companies working on behalf of programs with which they have $100 million business deals was just sort of clearly wrong, and clearly, or at least I shouldn't say wrong. I don't want to wave a moral compass here. I'll just say in clearly in violation of NCAA rules. But it was like, all right, Nike's going to help Nike schools. Under Armour's going to help Under Armour schools. Adidas is going to help Adidas schools. And that's just sort of the way it works. It was accepted behavior, I guess. It was accepted behavior among thieves. And that's why I think coaches just got very comfortable with this way of doing things. And then obviously people get arrested, and now there's a trial, and people are under oath, and it could theoretically cost somebody, some more people, their jobs. But
that's where I want to go. I want to go here, because I want to dig a little deeper into this, kind of point by point a little bit, because I think for people like you and me that have covered college athletics for a while, we've just always known this is how the sausage is made. This is how it's produced. But I do think for a lot of fans out there, this has been eye-opening to a degree. So let's go here. Obviously, there's a federal trial here that is a result of an FBI investigation, and the government is seeking convictions. I've read what you've written. I could not agree more. You were on my podcast. You said as much. The odds of a conviction here feel really, really low. It almost feels impossible that a jury is actually going to determine that these men committed crimes. They're not NCAA violations, but crimes. It's hard to believe that these people are going to prison for this. Let's say, for the sake of this argument, that they don't, that there aren't convictions. What does seem pretty clear is that the defense strategy is to tell the truth. To say, as you said, yeah, we did all this stuff, man. In fact, we did more than what you even charged us for. let us go through the list of all the things that we did, because you actually missed a few things in your investigation. We did all of these things, and we'll be happy to tell you all about it, all the meetings and everything. They're coming across, and again, this is from 2,000 miles away, and I'm not in the courtroom, but it certainly comes across following people like Dan Wetzel and others by proxy, that these people are telling the truth on the stand, which leads to my next question, and I think it's the question that so many people have. When this case is over, when a jury convenes and they sit around the room and they have their Coca-Cola and a couple of donuts and they finally make a vote and they come back out and they say you're acquitted, what is the NCAA going to do with this?
Well, the NCAA actually changed its bylaws within the past year to be able to use any sort of evidence that comes out in any sort of trial like this as a way to charge college basketball programs. So I do think that they're going to levy charges against Louisville, and I would assume any other school that's been brought into this. But what's going to be interesting is, because you're exactly right. You know, I've read a lot about federal cases and over the past year. And one of the things you find out is that when the feds charge you, like they ain't the one where you try to deny that you did what they say you did. It's why the overwhelming majority of federal cases don't even go to trial. because you just plead to a lesser charge, or you get the best deal you can get, and you plead guilty, and you do your time, or you take your punishment, because you can't beat them. Once they charge you, they got you. And so the strategy here isn't to try to deny. They didn't plead not guilty and then go to trial to stand up and insist they didn't do this stuff. They pleaded not guilty, went to trial, and then stood up and said, yes, we did all of this and more, but it's not a crime. And I think they have a compelling case, because one of the points that the prosecution makes is that the University of Louisville was defrauded by these men. Kansas was defrauded by these men. But what the defense is going to show is that nobody defrauded Louisville. We helped Louisville. Nobody defrauded Kansas. We helped Kansas. And it's why TJ's testimony tomorrow, I would assume, would be much more interesting than his testimony today, because today the prosecution just wants to enter this information, but they don't want to get too specific because they don't have, it serves them no purpose. But the defense wants to, that the defense has a real motive to try to expose coaches, because if the government's case is rooted at least in part in these coaches and these schools were defrauded, well, if you can show that, no, they weren't. T.J. Gasnola, by his own admission, sat down with Bill Self and the assistant coaches of Kansas and said, I'm here to help. And then he helped. They knew what T.J. was doing. T.J. was doing exactly what they wanted him to do. Then that case becomes even flimsier than it already is. So I would assume tomorrow, where the prosecution does not push him in any way, the defense is going to. What exactly did you tell Bill Self? What exactly did Bill Self say to you? Did Bill Self know that you were paying Silvio D'Souza? Did Bill Self know that you paid Billy Preston? And I'm not going to pretend to know what the answer to those questions are going to be, but they could be very, very interesting. To loop it back to your point, then eventually the NCAA is going to, I would assume, send a notice of allegations to Kansas after all of this is over. And then I would assume, unless there's hard evidence, like audio, wiretap, something like that, that says Bill Self knew about this stuff, he's just going to say that he didn't, and Kansas will stand by him because he's a Hall of Fame coach who's won 14 consecutive Big 12 titles. But, you know, if he were a lesser coach with a lesser resume, absolutely he would pay by giving his job up. It would cost him his job here. But unless there's hard evidence, irrefutable evidence that Bill Self knew, then I think he'll probably survive it. And I want to be clear. I think it's silly to at this point assume that the coaches at Kansas didn't know what was going on, or the coaches at Louisville didn't know what was going on, or coaches anywhere else that are tied to this didn't know what was going on. That's silly. But you know, but can you deny it and have a university stand by you? Yeah, maybe if you're Bill Self, if you're that good at your job.
Does Bill Self get called onto the stand in this case?
He will not in this case, because at least he's not on the witness list. And I would assume that's because it doesn't serve any real purpose for the prosecution and the defense. Like if Bill Self Bill Self will probably hurt both sides. You know, he gets up there and denies that he knew anything. That doesn't help the defense. So the prosecution doesn't want to put him up there, and the defense probably, it just doesn't help them at all to put him up there, unless he was going to get up there and admit that he knew everything that was going on, and he's not going to do that. So he's not on the witness list, and I would, while acknowledging a very novice level of understanding of why the government will or won't put on a witness, and same thing for the defense, that would be the most sensible reason, I would think.
Gary Parrish joining us from Chicago. He's there for the start of Big Ten Basketball Media Days tomorrow here on the Gary Parrish Show. Makes sense that he's here. All right, here's the next question that I have. We're in the middle of a pretty hot recruiting period. The signing period starts in roughly a month. Kids can sign binding NLIs, national letters of inquiry, of commitment. If you're an Adidas school right now, are you having to be extra careful with the way that you conduct recruiting? I mean, is this changing the game in any recruiting battles around the country?
I think it has to. I don't think it'll change things forever, but you know, I think folks are scared. You know, you don't know who you're talking to anymore. You don't know if there's a wiretap on a phone. And you don't know who you're dealing with. And even if you don't think you'll get caught doing a deal with somebody. What if they get caught doing a deal with somebody else and they end up charged with a crime, and then they end up, you know, having to testify, and they end up being asked questions, and then they bring you right into it. So I'm not going to pretend that nobody's cheating, because, like, you know, there's still a risk-reward factor, and the reward probably still outweighs the risk because it is hard to get caught at the stuff. But I would think that it has to have slowed down. I mean, it's only because, you know, I can't imagine somebody at Adidas trying to do a deal right now. Like, what? Or even somebody at Nike or somebody at Under Armour. I can tell you from talking to coaches, they're much more careful about what they're doing. In fact, during the July evaluation period, I was talking to one coach, and he was not out in Las Vegas, but he usually went to Las Vegas. And one of the things he acknowledged he would do, and this is not allowed, I mean, it would be a minor NCAA rules violation, but he was like, Vegas is great over the years because that's when you can get a dad or a grassroots coach, and you take them out to, you know, a club, and you get a corner table. Or you take, like, Vegas, there's so many things going on in Vegas. You're probably not going to bump into somebody, particularly if you're off the beaten path a little bit. There's a million places to be at all times. And so he's like, you could really, like, get some good time in with a parent or a grassroots coach. But he's like, now I don't even – you can't do it. It's just not worth the risk. You can't even – so he was scared to even, like, go have late-night drinks with a grassroots coach, even though it was a minor violation, because just, like, now's not the time. It's cleaned up some. I had one coach tell me the class of 2019 is going to be the poorest class in the history of college basketball because everybody's scared to be, you know, doing what they do. But ultimately, you know, as long as the sport is tied so tightly to the idea of amateurism, there's always going to be a market. There's always going to be a buyer. There's always going to be a seller. The idea that this was ever going to, quote unquote, clean up college basketball was just silly. It'll slow it down for a little while. But ultimately, you know, the stakes are still the stakes. And as long as you can make tens of millions of dollars being a successful basketball coach, and the best way to do that is to get top shelf talent, and there's a market for top shelf talent, then these types of transactions are going to continue.
The part that always blows me away and shocks me is that there's not more of an outcry from the public that says, who precisely is harmed if Adidas pays a kid $3,000 to wear their shoes?
Well, I've been screaming that for a long time. I've written countless columns about it. In fact, like my son, who's a sophomore in high school, is in a debate class, and one of their debates from, I think, last week was, should student athletes be allowed to accept fair market value? And, like, I told them, I was like, when you start researching this, like, my name's going to be what pops up. Like, you're going to be using me, my columns as you know, as pieces of material to make your points. And he actually did. Like, he and I sat down and worked on it together. And so if he gets a bad grade on it, I have failed him miserably. But, I mean, it's just, to me, it's simple, but I understand why it doesn't get done. To me, it's just like, adopt the Olympic model. It doesn't change the order of things in the sports of college football and college basketball at all. And what I mean by that is, allow anybody to take anything anybody is willing to give them. It does not matter. If Nike wants to put Marvin Bagley on a billboard and then tell him to go to Duke, we're fine with it.
And just make the terms public.
It takes everything under the table, and it takes it above the table. Yeah. And when I say let anybody get whatever they want, I mean anybody. Sure. Volleyball players, it doesn't matter to me.
Of course.
Like, if you know, the biggest prospects will get big Nike deals and Under Armour deals to go to Nike schools and Under Armour schools. On a lower level, like Alex Lomax might get a It's All Good Auto Sales deal to go to the University of Memphis, whatever. And like, so Alex Lomax might get $30,000. And, you know, Marvin Bagley might get $500,000. Who cares? And then here's what happens. Because I know this is the counter-argument to it every time. People say, but yeah, GP. But then, you know, like, the schools with the biggest corporate backing and the, you know, the most intense boosters – wealthiest boosters, they'll be the schools that get all the best players. And I'm like, that's already the way it works. You're exactly telling me that under my plan, Tennessee would have a recruiting advantage over Tennessee State It already does. In other words, the schools that have the most, that have the biggest Nike contracts, biggest Adidas contracts, biggest Under Armour contracts, and have the biggest athletic budgets because they have the wealthiest boosters who are deeply involved, those would be the schools that would have inherent recruiting advantages. They're already the schools that have inherent recruiting advantages. And so Alabama and USC and Michigan and Ohio State and whoever, they'd still get the best football players, and Duke and Kentucky would still get the best basketball players, and the schools that win the championships would be the same in both sports. Nothing would change about the way we experience college athletics, except that there would be no more scandal, because it would be impossible to have a scandal. Because if somebody wanted to pay somebody to go to Memphis, they would just pay them to go to Memphis. And if somebody wanted to pay somebody to go to Alabama, they just pay them to go to Alabama. I mean, it makes too much sense, except for it would come at the expense of the universities. Because the way they got this system set up is that the boosters can't go straight to the players. They have to send their money to the university first, and then we keep all of it. I've had several administrators say what would happen, and the reason the people running college athletics won't sign off on this is that the guy who owns the bank and donates $1 million a year to the University of Alabama will now be trying to do a deal for a running back, and that's less money that's going to come into the University of Alabama. He'll still be spending the same money, but $700,000 will be going straight to a player, and $300,000 will be coming. So the university will have less money coming in and have less control of the money, so they won't sign off on it. But until you go that far with it and actually just rid yourself of the concept of amateurism, scandals in college athletics are going to be there forever.
The eyes of the college basketball world were on New York today. The eyes of the NBA were on Minneapolis. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Gary Parrish Show. Gary's going to stick around for one more segment. You're listening to 92.9. ESPN.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. It's so smooth, like I've told you for years now, you can drink it straight. You don't have to. You can use it to make a screwdriver, Cosmopolitan, White Russian, Bloody Mary. You can mix it if you want to, but if you want to drink it straight, you can. The reason? It's quality vodka. It's not only a quality vodka, it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. That is really what I get when I'm in the liquor store, and it's for exactly those reasons, because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. Thanks to listeners of the Gary Parrish Show, we have actually turned Memphis into the number one market for New Amsterdam vodka per capita in the United States of America. And remember that they got flavored vodkas as well. Apple peach, orange mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry. The newest flavor is grapefruit. Check it out if you haven't already. Mix them all together. It doesn't matter to me. Just make sure next time you're in a restaurant or a bar or a liquor store, you ask for it by name. New Amsterdam vodka. Pour your soul out. It's on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Men in the area have been working with the Memphis Men's Clinic to treat their ED for over 4 years. Now area men have experienced stellar results from wave therapy, the state-of-the-art treatment that uses a man's own healing agents to help make ED a thing of the past.
My name's David. I'm 46 years old, and I've been coming to the Memphis Men's Clinic for about 2 years. The doctor and staff at the Memphis Men's Clinic explained everything to me in terms I could understand. They explained the process completely, so I wouldn't have any confusion about what it was or why it works. And the procedure was quick and painless. I wasn't expecting the kind of results I got. I didn't think noticeable gains could be made so easily, but the results have been very strong.
Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today to schedule a consultation for just $99. Learn how wave therapy from the Memphis Men's Clinic can help you regain your performance. Call today, 901-443-0304. 901-443-0304.
From day one, President Trump has been attacked by those who resist his Make America Great Again agenda. Hillary Clinton and the left have led the charge. Sadly, Chris McDaniel joined Hillary and the left by attacking Trump and his supporters. While Hillary called Trump supporters deplorable, McDaniel called them delusional. What else do Chris McDaniel and Hillary Clinton have in common? They both opposed President Trump's tax cut. That's right. McDaniel said Trump's tax plan was an embarrassment. McDaniel even called Trump, quote, thin-skinned and not conservative. Yes, you heard that right. McDaniel called Trump supporters delusional. He opposed Trump's tax cut, and he personally attacked the president. No wonder President Trump endorsed Cindy Hyde Smith. She supported President Trump's agenda 100% of the time in the U.S. Senate. Cindy Hyde Smith. She's the conservative we can count on. Chris McDaniel, he's just bad for Mississippi.
Paid for by Mississippi Victory Fund. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The sports book at the Fence is now open. And folks, there's nothing like the action at a sports book. There's an energy and excitement that simply does not exist anywhere else. If you've never made a bet or aren't quite sure how to bet, no problem. It's simple, and we'll show you how. You can make straight bets against the spreads, over-unders, moneyline bets, prop bets, futures bets, parlays, even bets on games already in progress. And at the Fence, baby, you can bet on just about anything. College and pro football, college pro and women's basketball, college and pro baseball, college and pro hockey. Want to bet boxing? You can. Plus MMA, tennis, golf, soccer, World Cup, auto racing, motorcycle racing, truck racing, even air racing. You can bet on the Olympics, bowling, rodeo, rugby, lacrosse. Starting to get the picture? About the only thing you can't bet on at the Fitz is fly swatting and opera singing. Get your bets down now with the sports book at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Get to know the number one auto and home insurer in Tennessee, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle. And the reason my name is on the sign is because I'm a talented team inside. Call us, 901-767-7744. We're all better looking than a lizard.
Grizz Nation! Get the best deals in the NBA from the best mascot in the league with Grizz's Buzzer Beater Deals. Sign up for last minute day of game ticket alerts direct to your phone through the official Grizzlies mobile app. And get access to discounts, upgrades, experiences, and more. Click Grizzlies.com for details.
There's a difference between do-it-yourself and do-it-for-a-living. At the Home Depot, we get that. And we're here to help pros get the whole job done better and faster. Get the lowest price on the things you need with bulk and volume pricing. Then get it all where you need it and when with buy online, pick up in store, or job site delivery with text notifications. You save time and money. When you've got a job, we're on the job. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference, so you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance, because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State age and health-related restrictions may apply.
Enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine with today's Perks deal. Half off $50 to Las Margaritas with 8 locations throughout the Mid-South. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Neil McCready.
Fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the fuck?
Welcome back into the Gary Parrish Show. Gary Parrish joins us from Chicago. He's there for Big Ten basketball media days. Those get started tomorrow. Kind enough to spend another, 12, 13 minutes with us here on the show. All right, Gary, we talked about the college game a lot in the first segment. Let's switch to the NBA. Grizzlies and Magic tonight, 5:30 pregame right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The story today, though, was not Memphis. It was not Orlando. It was the Minnesota Timberwolves, specifically Jimmy Butler, who returned to Timberwolves practice for the first time this preseason. And he had a practice that everyone apparently will remember for a long time. This, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he participated in the Wolves practice, a session that included him verbally challenging teammates, coaches, and front office. He was vociferous and emotional at times, targeting Thibodeau, Layden, who's the GM, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Wiggins. At one point in the scrimmage, he turned to the general manager, Scott Layden, and screamed, "You blanking need me. You can't win without me." He then also, according to other reports, grabbed some of the fellas off the end of the bench, took them out, and beat the first teamers in a scrimmage. Where's this going with Jimmy Butler? This certainly appears that Jimmy Butler is either doing one of two things. He's either saying, I'll just stay here for one more year and I'll show everybody what I'm about, or I'm going to make this such a scene that you'll have no choice but to trade me.
Yeah, you know, I guess it could cut either way. He's apparently doing an ESPN interview that's going to air tonight, and perhaps he'll provide some clarity because he hasn't spoken publicly since he requested a trade from the Timberwolves. But by all accounts, and by all accounts, I mean Woj's account, that is being disputed by nobody. It was quite a scene at practice today. Like, you know, I think everybody understands he didn't want out of Minnesota for say the same reasons maybe Carmelo Anthony once wanted out of Denver. Like, Carmelo Anthony wanted out of Denver because he wanted to go to New York. Jimmy Butler wanted out of Minnesota because he hates his teammates. He hates Carl Anthony Towns. He hates Andrew Wiggins. And he hates them because he's the opposite of them.
Yes.
You know, Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins were, depending on what recruiting site you fancy, you know, the number one player in their high school class and then the number one pick in an NBA draft. They have been anointed as the next great thing since they were 15 years old. And though Towns might actually be that someday, oh, it seems Wiggins isn't anywhere close to that. And meantime, Jimmy Butler's a JUCO guy. You know, Jimmy Butler was a nobody in high school, went to junior college, was a nobody coming out of junior college, went to Marquette, was awesome for Buzz Williams, and then is now an All-NBA player. So he came to this place in an incredibly different way than Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, and according to people close to that franchise, they clashed over and over and over again last year. Like, Jimmy Butler has gotten everything he's gotten out of this world by working like crazy. Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins have gotten everything they've gotten in this world by being uniquely, naturally gifted. And that breakdown between the two sides caused real problems, and so Jimmy wanted out. And I assumed that they would just move him because, again, they're going to lose him in a year anyway. And even if Jimmy Butler's an all-pro NBA guy, I mean all-NBA guy, you having people who hate each other to this degree and, you know, on the same team, once it's known publicly, that's just hard to manage. And yet Tom Thibodeau, I think largely because he isn't only the coach, but he also runs the personnel of the team. Like, when you've got a personnel guy also coaching the team, what a coach wants and what a personnel guy wants, or general manager wants, I should say, isn't always the same thing. You know, a general manager thinks big picture about his franchise. A coach just wants to win. Every coach I've ever seen wants to win, and Jimmy Butler helps Tom Thibodeau win. So Tom Thibodeau wants to keep Jimmy Butler. But at what cost? And so either way, they've decided not to move him yet, and he finally showed up to practice today and was cussing at team president, was cussing at Thibodeau, was telling, and like you said, he like grabbed four guys off the end of the bench and went out and beat the other starters and was telling them about it the whole time. And then at one point, it appears the highlight is he turns to somebody and says, "You can't effing win without me. You need me." And I don't know where it goes from here, but I bet you Andrew Wiggins wasn't real happy. I bet you Carl Anthony Towns wasn't real happy to have a guy who you know hates you come in and then run your practice. But I bet you, Woj reported this, there's some guys on that team that left there energized, rejuvenated, and, like, inspired. And if they can take all this ugliness and somehow turn it into a positive for the basketball team in general, that'll be an amazing story. And, you know, it's why I know the NBA is not the biggest sport in our country. It's the NFL by a significant margin. But the NBA is the most entertaining. It's the most interesting because you've got all these storylines and all these personalities. And the storyline in Minnesota, you know, went to another level today.
Yeah, to prove that, my wife, who's not a big sports fan, she cheers for the Cubs because she really has no choice. She lives in this house. She doesn't really watch sports, but she loves the NBA. Loves it. It's reality television. I started to say it's a soap opera, but it's not. It's the male version of, like, Housewives of New York or Atlanta. It's so much drama and this interpersonal stuff. And if you're Tom Thibodeau today, to your point, this isn't ideal. I get that. This isn't the way you would draw it up in chemistry class. But Jimmy Butler, motivated to play the best basketball of his life, challenging Carl Anthony Towns. Forget Andrew Wiggins. I have no idea what motivates Andrew Wiggins. But challenging Carl Anthony Towns, who's probably the type of person to respond in a positive way from a playing standpoint to that challenge, is not the worst thing. You can still trade, if this thing goes to hell, you can trade Jimmy Butler closer to the deadline. It's not now or never. You might not get the return on the dollar, if you will, but you still have an opportunity to get something for him closer to the trade deadline, and he will absolutely have trade value. There's a chance, if you're Thibodeau, I would think you're saying to yourself, hey, there's a chance I can turn this into something that's kind of a motivating thing, a positive thing, a fueling thing, at least for a few months, and see where this thing goes in a Western Conference that is, it's Golden State, and then, man, it's a bunch of teams that could all be really good.
Well, that's got to be the hope, because though all of the attention is getting placed on Jimmy Butler yelling and cussing today, what he said, you know, it shouldn't get lost. They can't win without him. They didn't win. I don't care how good Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, anybody else was. They didn't win until Jimmy Butler got there. Now, they didn't win a lot with him, but they made the playoffs. So he's right. They can't win without him. And if you're Tom Thibodeau, that is absolutely what you're hoping, what you just described. Listen, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler ain't got to be best friends. But if Jimmy Butler is going to bring this type of intensity and nastiness to our practices, then if Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins got any pride about him at all, like, now you bring it. And now we got something interesting. Like, that's always been the knock, at least according to Jimmy Butler, on Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Like, they don't go. They don't go the way you have to go. They don't understand what you have to do to win. They don't understand how to work hard because they've never worked hard. They've never had to. They're people who were identified as possible number one picks in the NBA draft by the time they were like 15 years old, and then they went out and actually became number one picks in NBA drafts. Like, they have, I don't want to say they've never worked hard, but they never had to work to get where they're at. They're not where they're at because they outworked everybody. They're where they're at because they were born with incredible gifts. And so if that's always been the knock on them from Jimmy Butler's perspective, you know, if they don't come back tomorrow and respond to his intensity, well, then they are exactly what Jimmy Butler says they are. And if they do respond, well, then you've got two all-world talents who are being motivated to be a better version of themselves. That's not a bad thing. This is unique, obviously, but anybody who's played sports or been around sports knows that there are lots of different ways to motivate people. You know, the Brad Stevens way might be with encouragement. You know, just like constant encouragement and, you know, being level-headed and being reasonable, but still pushing when you need to push. And then there's the yellers and the screamers and the people who try to motivate you by humiliating you. And I'm not saying that that's the best way, but I'm saying it can be an effective way. I've seen it with my own eyeballs. So if Jimmy Butler's desire to humiliate Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins actually motivates Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, then I could certainly envision a scenario where Minnesota is better off for it. And you're exactly right. And if it does become disastrous, they can move in any time before the trade deadline. And it's not like, and you're right, they will get pennies on the dollar, but they're going to get pennies on the dollar right now. Like, it ain't like they got some blockbuster deal sitting there waiting on them. It's like Josh Richardson. And Josh Richardson, fine, but, like, whatever.
Right.
So, like, you might not be able to get Josh Richardson at the trade deadline, but I bet you probably could, you know, if Miami's trying to make a push for the playoffs. My larger point is this. You're not passing on anything spectacular in return right now. And if Jimmy Butler is telling you, I don't want to be here, I'm going to humiliate my teammates every day, but, yeah, I'll show up to work, then maybe that's good enough.
Yeah, it's that as we wrap up this segment, it's Houston, for example, supposedly has talked about P.J. Tucker and Aaron Gordon.
Right.
I mean, you know, come on. If you're Minnesota, P.J. Tucker and Aaron Gordon are not getting you over the hump in the Western Conference. They're nice players. P.J. Tucker's a nice two-way player, et cetera. Aaron Gordon's got a nice shot, but they're not Jimmy Butler. And so if you're the Timberwolves, maybe when that's the best offer that you can get right now, maybe you say, hey, let's just see what happens. It's already a train wreck. If it turns into a bigger train wreck, we'll figure it out from there. But let's just give this a little bit of a shot. It's a lot of drama. And frankly, in the NBA, drama's not always a bad thing. Drama sells tickets. Drama drives TV ratings. If you're the Timberwolves, you can, like you said, you can quickly talk yourself into at least giving this a 2-month trial.
Oh, at this point, I think I would just say, hey, listen, all trade talks are off, and unless somebody calls with something amazing, and we're just going to go into the season with these teammates who do not like each other, but they'll play. You know, the reason you can maybe do this with Jimmy Butler is because he's wired a little differently. Some guys might say, I don't want to be here, and then they just shut down. You know, they don't work, they don't play. Jimmy Butler ain't wired like that. Jimmy Butler will say, I don't want to be here, I want you to trade me, and then it's tip-off, and he's going to go. Some guys don't know how to do anything other than go when they're on a court and play hard when they're on a court, regardless of whether they're happy or not. And so there's a different guy who, if he was disgruntled, you might have to move him because you're not going to be able to get anything out of him. But Jimmy Butler's not that guy. When it's time to play, he's going to play. And so, you know, if you're Thibodeau, I could certainly see you saying, you know what, as long as Jimmy Butler's saying he's going to show up to work, I don't care how much he hates Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. I don't care if they eat dinner together or hang out. I just, you know, when they're on the court together, do they play hard together? And if Jimmy pushing them because he wants to remind them every day how terrible they are, if that makes them actually better, then this can be a net positive, even if it's a little bit of a circus. And so I would assume at this point that's probably what they're going to do. They're going to sit back, and as long as Jimmy Butler continues to show up for work, they're going to see if they can get anywhere with what is undeniably the most talented version of the roster that they could possibly have. And then, you know, you got to remember that it is better when teammates get along, but it's not 100% necessary. Shaq and Kobe didn't like each other. They won championships. You don't have to be best friends. It's better if you are, but there is precedent in all team sports where guys who do not get along can figure out how to succeed on a court or a field when it's time to get on a court or a field, because ultimately you don't have to like somebody to play with them. You just have to be willing to play with them. And if Butler's willing to show up to practice and show up to games and bring that type of intensity, then honestly, if I'm the Timberwolves, I absolutely decide I'm gonna go into this season with this dysfunctional roster and see if we can win more games than we lose.
Gary, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy your evening in Chicago. If you happen to see Theo Epstein while you're out, just whisper the words Bryce Harper. Mm. Just
you're gonna pay
whisper it.
$40 million a year,
don't.
Yeah, just give it to him. It's just money. It's just money. Just don't complicate it. Just say Bryce Harper and just keep moving.
I'll deliver the message.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's Gary Parrish.
Beautiful.
We'll come back
with four
stories as we wrap up the 4 o'clock hour here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. Their prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores every day of the week, so they don't have to have sales. They're already killing the competition to begin with. They got an A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau, and when readers of the Commercial Appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, 3 straight years your winner, Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner. Now, if you want to talk to Michael directly, you can call him, 901-692-6200. That's 901-692-6200. If you want to pop into the store, it's located at 2790 Kirby Whitten in Bartlett at the corner of Summer Avenue next door to Hollywood Feet. And if you tell them you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show, you're going to get an additional 10% off your purchase. Not just mattress purchase, but also furniture purchase. It's in the name. Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner. They got furniture as well. Living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Basically anything you need to furnish your home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's, so check there first. Sleepy Z's Mattress and Furniture by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. On the web, sleepyzzz.com.
Are kids better off in an intact family? You bet they are. This is Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Kids living in a household with married parents do better in school, They're emotionally healthier, and they're more likely to stay out of trouble with the law. If you're in a troubled marriage, of course you should do everything you can to save your marriage, if only for your kids' sake. This includes considering alternatives to divorce. Of course, in some circumstances, divorce is unavoidable. In either case, if you're a man facing a crisis in your marriage, let us help you at Cordell & Cordell. Remember, we're the partner men can count on.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
This is Gary Parrish, and as you likely know, my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health, and I cannot recommend them enough. Just tremendous. But understand, like I've told you before, you do not have to experience an emergency to get great care from Regional One Health. Right now, I'm here with Amanda Best, a family nurse practitioner at their East Memphis campus. And what she knows is what I've learned, that it's important, even in our busy lives, to take care of ourselves and get a normal checkup. Right, Amanda?
Yes, it is imperative to have annual exams. I perform annual exams that include a thorough physical assessment and labs, and I personally focus on disease prevention and health promotion.
Do you see many teenagers?
I treat patients 15 years and older, as well as my partners in internal medicine. It's a great transition for teens from their pediatrician's office to internal medicine.
And those visits are all possible at the East Campus?
Yes. You can schedule an appointment online at regionalonehealth.org or give us a call at 901-515-3150. The East Campus is located at the corner of Quince and Kirby.
You heard her. Make an appointment online, regionalonehealth.org, or give them a call, 901-515-3150.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS. CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
Fall break is right around the corner, and what better way to entertain the kids than a trip to Audubon Indoor Speedway and Events. Mondays through Thursdays, Audubon is offering one free race for every two that you buy. The tracks at Audubon Indoor Speedway are inspired by real road race courses, but way cooler because the Audubon tracks are indoors and air-conditioned.
Those tracks are classic, but Audubon's fully electric Italian-made carts are ultra-modern. And we have something big coming up, John, on October 19th out at Audubon, so save the date because I'll have the details to come.
Audubon Indoor Speedway and Events. Fast, fun, cool.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room with flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing. It'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Neil McCready.
Let me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick.
It's 4:53 here on Wednesday afternoon. Again, our thanks to Gary Parrish, who joined us from Chicago. Jeff Calkins will join us in the next hour. Memphis Grizzlies basketball follows us at 5:30 for the pregame. A little after 6, they'll tip it off in Orlando, closing out the preseason. Getting close. Yep. Getting close to NBA season when they're going to actually count it and everything. But tonight, the Grizzlies get... Was this one final warm-up, I guess, with the Magic? So.
We've got one with the Magic. We get Houston again on the road on Friday, that game is. And then I think there's one more before the... Well, actually, then the 12th, so we're there. They've moved this thing back, so it's like, boom, here it is, you know?
Yeah, the season starts Tuesday for a lot of teams. Yeah. It's exciting times.
It is.
All right, but now it's time for Four Stories.
Four Stories, presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So, Brad, yesterday, Marcus Thompson, who covers the Golden State Warriors, among other things, for The Athletic, he was on a radio station out in the Bay, KNBR, and he was asked, hey, if you had to guess, what would you guess about Kevin Durant? And he said, well, I'd guess he's gone. And he didn't think much of it. You know, right. And I've done this before as a beat writer. You do a 10-minute radio hit, and you go back to your cave or
back
wherever.
To writing or whatever, right?
Yeah, and you start writing, and all of a sudden your social media blows up, and you say, oh, wait, what did I say? And his blew up. As he says, it was molten lava infused with cayenne hot take. And people turned it into him reporting that Kevin Durant was leaving, which is not what he reported. But he went ahead and said, well, you know what? I probably should write about this. And so he did today.
Yeah.
And he talked about how basically reading the tea leaves, listening to the things that Kevin Durant said at the Warriors Media Day, and then talking to people inside the organization and reading a vibe from the organization. Yeah. He said there's absolutely no question that the Warriors are preparing mentally for Kevin Durant to leave at the end of the season. And he pointed something out. It was pretty interesting. The Warriors had a preseason game, ironically, in Seattle earlier this month. Kevin Durant, as you may recall, was drafted by then the Seattle Supersonics, who became the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
And he played his first NBA season in Seattle. So he was received
that is
quite
wild to me. It's just like it's hard to believe he's been in the league that long.
I know. Kevin Durant's 30.
That's hard to believe.
But
it's true. I know it is. But
he was received quite warmly.
Yeah.
And a number of people in the Warriors organization noticed it and said how much Durant enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, it's becoming obvious that maybe that's what he wants.
Yeah.
And It's something we've talked about a lot. It is going to be one of the big NBA stories this year, assuming he stays healthy.
Yep.
He's won two titles in his 2 years in Golden State. He won two finals MVPs. But he's not the lead man on that team. And maybe for the first time, Kevin Durant has decided that's indeed what he wants. And a lot of teams, obviously, will make room for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of interesting that Marcus Thompson, given an opportunity to sort of walk it back, dug into it a little more and said, nope, I think he's leaving.
This one intrigues me a lot, Neil, because it's like, first of all, he's super popular. Like, my kid loved Kevin Durant. And then when he went to, Golden State, it was like he fell off the map with my kid. And everything was about Steph Curry and LeBron James. It was like, wait a minute, I thought you liked Kevin Durant. He's like, nah, you know, he's just another player on a really good team. Here's the biggest question I think is I think it would be Oklahoma City he would come back to, because that's the LeBron treatment, right? That's the, you know, I left, I won a couple of titles, but now I'm coming back, you know, and I'm going to win one for Oklahoma City. The only other scenario would be like he put that Sean Kemp jersey on and loved all that stuff, as if somehow Seattle got a team, hopefully not at
the
expense of us.
Well, I think Seattle will get a team, but they won't get a team until 2021.
It's going to be a long time.
I think he goes to New York.
Oh.
I think he goes to the Knicks. Takes over. Yeah. The Knicks have some pieces.
Yeah.
And maybe
popular coach, players coach. I mean, everybody sort of likes Fizz. So I could see it. Yeah.
The Oklahoma City thing would be a cool story.
Yeah.
I just don't know that. And don't get me
wrong.
No, I
got you. We're speculating here.
The fans would welcome him back in an absolute moment.
Goodness, yes.
But no, I don't know that financially that works. They've committed so much money to Russell Westbrook, so much money to Paul George.
Right.
They'd have to, and they would do it. I just don't know that Kevin Durant would do that. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that. But I do think he leaves. I don't think he joins LeBron in L.A., and New York makes a lot of sense.
Story number two.
So, speaking of radio today, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, David Kaplan, who is a very respected radio voice, reported on ESPN 1000 today that he'd heard from a source that the Cubs approached Chris Bryant and his agent, Scott Boras, in the last several months about a massive extension worth, quote, well north of $200 million.
Oh, my God.
And that Chris Bryant said no. Now, some people have walked that story back over the course of the day, but it's really interesting, as we talked about Bryce Harper a little bit a minute ago. Yeah. If you're the Cubs, you've got to start thinking about, okay, what are we going to do about this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy, as you start to put the pieces together as to what does your financial package look like? Mm-hmm. How much room do you have for Bryce Harper or not have for Bryce Harper? I don't think, based on what I've been able to gather from reading a lot of other people reacting to this radio report, that this is 100.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.